From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he concludes his ninth message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Chapter 3 and verse 5 is the text where Moses commands the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." In a message entitled, "Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises," Dr. Cairns has been reminding believers of God's call to personal holiness of life. For the children of Israel standing on the border of Canaan, the call to holiness was in preparation for and anticipation of the moving and blessing of God, and that is still the case. The first thing Dr. Cairns stressed about this command is that it was given to God's people, not to sinners. It is the redeemed of the Lord who are called unto holiness of life, and failure to do so results in the forfeiture of God's blessing. Then this is a command to comprehensive holiness. Believers are to separate from sin in all its manifestations, both in their personal as well as in their public lives, and not only so, but they are to keep separate and not to return to worldly living. With God's command to sanctification also came glorious promises of the Lord's presence with His people, of the removal of every obstacle, and of protection from every danger. Finally, we see that in this passage, God revealed Himself in His glorious power, a picture of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of this message shortly, but first he reminds us of the importance of a godly example.
Who can tell the power of a good example? Some of us can recall our godly mothers or godly fathers, and the example they set us in the home. I have a colleague in the ministry, and in his young days he loved the things of the world. His mother labored for his salvation, and he said that when he would come home at night, whatever the hour, it spoke to his heart something he could never forget, no matter where he went, that when he came home, he found always his mother on her knees, praying for her wayward son. What an example. Some of us can remember faithful Sabbath school teachers or godly pastors, and their Christ-centered lives have left a mark on our lives that cannot really be eradicated. They have given us a godly example. Now that speaks to us today, and it says certain things we ought never to forget. First of all, it speaks to those who are Christians. No man lives to himself. No man really is an island. You have an effect on all upon whom with whom you come in contact. You have an effect upon your family. What you say and do in the home has an effect on your wife or your husband and your children. You have an effect upon your neighbors. You have an effect upon your workmates. You have an example that you're setting. Now, if you're a Christian, you should seek to be setting an example of godliness. You'd seek to live in such a way that you will point men to Christ, and that your life will be a clarion call from God for them to repent. They should, in looking at you, see something that they in their inmost hearts would desire. Some years ago, my younger brother died very suddenly, and we went to the graveyard. I was rather astonished when a couple of his friends, men who were deep into the things of the world, approached me and they said, "Could we come and talk to you? We'd like you to talk to us about our souls." As things turned out, we didn't get a chance that day with the press. But they were at a loose end. In fact, they were in an ungodly home later that evening. And they said one to the other, one of them spoke, he said, "Let's go round." He mentioned my sister by name. "Let's go round to her house. And He went because he thought he would enjoy the food. Well, he got food there. But as they left the house that night, the older of those two men, a man deep in wickedness, said to the other, he said, I don't know what it is those people have, but I would love to have what they have. And today both those men are transformed, rejoicing in Christ and serving him and leading others to the knowledge of him as well. The power of a godly example. You should certainly, as a Christian, seek to exert that example. But then there's a word here for those of you who have had godly fathers or mothers, or godly pastors or Sabbath school teachers, or you've had godly Christians point you the way of life, and you have despised their example. What they have done by their Christ-centered living condemns your worldliness and your Christ rejection. Some of you are trampling over the words and the tears of a godly mother on your stampede to hell. Some of you listening to me today, I have no doubt, can look back and say, yes, God put blockades on the road to hell across my path. Gave me a father or a mother who loved me and prayed for me, took me to church and Sunday school, opened the Bible with me, showed me the way of life, and I have turned away and have trodden the broad way that's leading to hell. Men and women, I trust that you'll stop, take stock of where you are. Go no further. Remember what God taught you in earlier times. Remember what he showed you in the lives of godly Christians. Remember the call of those lives, that you would turn away from sin, repent, and be converted. Never forget the examples God has given you, and do not despise them.
Take, O Lord, this heart of mine. Consecrate and seal me thine. Let me nearer come to thee. O reflect thyself in me.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-4673. 5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Protects a holy people. Even when it appears he allows his holy people, as he did in the early church, as he did, say, with the Waldensians, as he did with the Huguenots, as he did with some of the early Christians in England and Scotland and other places, when he allows them to be put to death for their faith. For them, all he's doing is bringing them to glory, but through them, he's promoting the whole cause that they had at heart. And he's bringing the church into victory. He promises to defeat every enemy. He promises to bring his people into the full possession of the land. He promises that he will complete his purpose of grace in them. This is a wonderful thing. Listen, I'll do wonders among you. You sanctify yourself, and I will complete every promised and purposed blessing for you. Remember what he said to Jacob? In Genesis 28:15, behold, I am with you. And I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You sanctify yourself, and God promises that. Let this church take this command seriously. And God says, I will not leave thee until I have done all that I have promised and spoken of. Paul says he was confident that he which had begun a good work in the Philippian Christians would perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But as I thought of this great promise, I will do wonders, I thought, surely this means that God would reveal himself in his power and in his glorious fullness. And as I pondered that, I thought to myself, this in reality is an Old Testament Pentecost. That's what God's talking about.
sanctify yourselves, and I'll do wonders among you. An Old Testament Pentecost. Now, when you come to the New Testament Pentecost, it's exactly the same thing. The Lord Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. There were 10 days of waiting on God. What was that? Sanctify yourselves. And I'll do wonders among you. What wonders he did, both in the Old Testament and in the New. He revealed himself in the fullness of his glorious power. And again, I would bring it to your attention. This is something that we as God's people need to be deeply, deeply interested in. This is something that we as a church need to take ever so seriously. The realization of the promise of God's power. The reality of Pentecost. Do not be fooled by charismatic delusions. But on the other hand, do not, as so many Bible believers seem to have done, do not shy away from the mysterious doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost with revival blessing, just because it has been counterfeited and brought into ill repute in a charismatic delusion. Let me tell you, if this Bible's true, and it is, there is such a thing as the power of the Holy Ghost in every generation. There is such a thing as an experience of God's power whereby the gospel is irresistible as it goes forth, and the meanest instruments are used to obtain the greatest results. I was reading just last night of the conversion of the great English hymn writer, Augustus Toplady. Toplady grew up in England hearing preaching, good preaching, strong preaching, Bible preaching, reform preaching, and he remained unconverted. He went on a journey over to Ireland. He went into a little village, a little hamlet. You wouldn't find it on the map. Irish people wouldn't even know its name. It's so small. It's so insignificant. He went into a meeting, what was like a barn meeting. And in that barn-like meeting, in that place that wasn't even a church or a chapel, he saw a man get up to preach. The man was so illiterate he could hardly read and write his own name. But he gave out the gospel that night. A poor, poor instrument indeed, but with the power of God. And the man who was unmoved by great scholarship and great theology and great preaching and great worship services, that man was mightily moved and gloriously saved by the power of the gospel. I want to tell you, my friend, God revealing himself can take the meanest instrument. How was Spurgeon saved? Saved through the preaching of a man who could do no more than repeat the text and repeat it again and repeat it again and stumble for 10 minutes or so and grind to a halt. He was no preacher by any stretch of the imagination, but God used him to save the greatest preacher the English-speaking people have ever had. How many millions are in heaven through Spurgeon and his verbal preaching, the pastors that he trained, the books that he wrote, the sermons that he printed? How many millions are in heaven? Only eternity will tell. But never forget the poor illiterate, practically, the poor useless case who had the power of God. Oh, that's the promise. Sanctify yourselves. And there is power. There is revival. There is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that you could understand this. Unless you've ever been in a place where God has come down in an unusual, unprecedented, unlooked for way. Unless you've ever been in a place where God has swept over all your conventions and has suddenly entered in with power and with grace. You know nothing of what I'm talking about. But oh man, you can know it. This church can know it. We must know it. Now let's wrap it all up. sanctify yourselves, for this is God's promise, I'll do wonders among you. That brings me full circle. Obedience to God's call to holiness is a vital proof of our faith, our commitment, and our hope. You see, when you sanctify yourself, you're saying to heaven, earth, and hell, I believe the promise. When you sanctify yourself, you say, I'm taking God's word seriously, and God will take me seriously. Holiness. Holiness is the only real proof that you believe God at all. Now we can say, oh, we believe the promise. We can say, oh yes, I believe that God keeps His word. God will do this, God will do that, God will do 101 things. You can say that all you like, you fool nobody. So long as your life is not a life of holiness. Because if you really believe this, then you will sanctify yourselves. Obedience in Joshua's day was a testimony of commitment. What did it say? It declared, we have left the wilderness behind us. We've dwelt there long enough. We're committed to following the Lord fully. It was a testimony of desire, saying we yearn for the blessing of God more than our daily bread. We yearn for the blessing of God. We believe the promise of God. We expect the power of God. We sanctify ourselves because He has promised, I will do wonders among you. That's the testimony that you're seeking revival. Now let's be very, very simple here, and let's be very, very honest. Without personal holiness, we want revival like a hole in the head. If you read what Malachi says in describing revival and the coming of the Lord among His people in Malachi chapter 3, as He moves with refining fire, and like a fuller's soap, you'll realize revival is very, very, very sore in hypocrisy and sore in the flesh. But if you desire revival, then you will come as these people did and say, yes, Lord, we sanctify ourselves. Notice how it's put, sanctify yourself. Can we do that? Well, no, we can't make ourselves holy. But there are steps that are set forth in God's word whereby He will cleanse us and make us holy. It's your duty to be holy. It's my duty to be holy. It's our personal responsibility to be holy. You might say, well, look, who am I? What do I count? Well, who are you? Are you saved? Then you do count. Achan was soon to prove that his personal testimony was very important to the overall work of God. And we will prove the same thing. Now this responsibility is great. It's urgent. Let us take care to discharge it. Most of all, let us get our eyes on Christ. Joshua said, sanctify yourselves. And what did he do? He set the ark before them. That ark is Christ. The word of God says to you, be ye holy. What does it do? It sets Christ before you. And as you see Christ, and as you desire Christ, and as you love Christ, you will both desire and obtain the power to be holy. And when you have the power to be holy, you'll be in the place where you're ready for the demonstration of the power of God. And thus, by your holiness, you'll express your faith, your preparation for, your anticipation of the demonstration of the power of God. I pray God will burn this into our hearts. sanctify yourselves. Enough fooling with the world. Enough toying with what you know is ungodly. It doesn't take you to be going out to get drunk or on drugs or anything that the world says is big sin. You know your heart, I know mine. There are things that we embrace that are antithetical to our testimony. They are things that are holding back the blessing of God in our lives. Sanctify yourselves, and the Lord will do wonders. May God let us see them as a holy and prepared people.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.